Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. I love the music of Christmas. I really do love the music of Christmas. It's soul-stirring music. It's joyful music. It's music that inspires wonder in a person's spirit. It's music about the Lord. It has nothing to do with me and my problems. It has nothing to do with, you know, my dog ran off or my uncle's in jail for boozing in again or, you know, any of that other stuff. It's about Jesus. It's about the joy that he brings into our lives. It's about the hope that he births within us. It's about the wonder of God's power and grace and mercy and love and compassion toward us. And yes, it is about gifts, but it's about the greatest gift that was ever given and the greatest gift that can ever be received. Amen. And so, with that in mind, I'm happy to focus our attention on five songs of Christmas. Five songs of Christmas that were sung by individuals that God used in a very special way at the birth of his son. The first song is the song of Mary, found in Luke chapter 1. Let's turn back to that passage of scripture, if you will, please. Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55. The angel Gabriel told Mary that she was going to give birth to Jesus, the Christ. So as the text tells us, as Miss Caroline read at our call to worship, Mary immediately left Nazareth for Hebron in the hill country of Judea to visit her cousin Elizabeth. Elizabeth was already preparing to bear a child. That child would be John the Baptizer, the one whom God declared would be the forerunner of his son to prepare the way of the people for the Messiah. And so when Mary arrived, she said in verse 42, she greeted Mary, Elizabeth did, by saying, "Blessed. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how it has happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come. For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy." Shame on those who believe that the unborn child in the womb of a mother is just a glob of flesh and not a person, not a human being, not an individual that is viable, is alive in every sense of the word. 6 months in the womb of his mother Elizabeth, even John knew who Jesus was. Blessed is he, Elizabeth continues, who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. What a greeting. Wonderful greeting, isn't it? You know, brothers and sisters ought to have those kinds of greetings. Amen?
Amen.
When you go to someone's house, especially a Christian brother, a Christian sister, you know, it'd be great to have a greeting other than, "Hey, how you doing? Come on in, sit down, and I'll make yourself home. You know, can I get you tea or water or whatever?" It'd be great to have a greeting. "Hey, how's it going? How's my brother? How's my sister? How has the Lord blessed you today?" What a wonderful greeting that Mary received. Mary responds in verses 46 through 55. She responds to Elizabeth and to Elizabeth's greeting by singing what is called the Magnificat. That is Latin for the word that Mary expressed here in the first strophe of her song in verse 46 when she says, "My soul exalts the Lord, my soul magnifies the Lord." That word magnify in the Latin is Magnificat, and that is the name of the song that we're going to focus our attention on this morning. How magnificent, how excellent, how wonderful, how glorious, how praiseworthy is the Lord. Because that's what the word to magnify means. It means to exalt to the highest level. It means to honor to the greatest degree. It means to extol beyond anything that we could even put into words. And she says, all of this belongs to the Lord who has blessed me. It's one of the greatest songs in the Bible. Not only for its composer, but also for its content. And so I want us to consider this wonderful song of praise this morning. First of all, I want you, as we look to this song, I want you to consider Mary's age. Consider Mary's age. How old do you think Mary was when the angel appeared to her and told her that she was going to be the bearer of God's only begotten son?
19 and a half.
16, 14, 41. Most reputable New Testament scholars, even though Scripture doesn't say, but most reputable New Testament scholars, evangelical scholars, say that Mary was either 14 or 15 years old. 14 or 15 years old. How many of you here this morning are 14 or 15? Not how many of you wish you were, or how many of you are glad you're not. Okay. Two? That's all? Three? Four? Okay. Five? All right. What can God do with you?
A lot.
A lot? Anything He wants to? You know, most of us think that a 14-year-old, a 15-year-old, they don't even have their head on straight. You know, there's no way that someone that young can think about God in a very serious way, can even contemplate what God can do in their life. They're still young. They're still innocent. Yeah, right. They're still, you know, green. They're still wet behind the ears. They haven't had enough time to experience life to be able to know exactly what it is that God would have them do. Mary was 14, maybe 15 years old. But you know, God often uses young people to accomplish great things in His kingdom. Did you know that? Really? Did you know that? Wayne Jackson says that youngsters have energy. They're daring. Their hearts are filled with visions of the future. Indeed, they can be a most valuable component in the service of Jehovah God. End quote. Joshua was Moses' assistant. You remember Moses of the Old Testament? His assistant was just a teenager. Joshua was a teenager when he became Moses' assistant. David, who became king of Israel, was a shepherd boy. He was only a teenager when he defeated Goliath. Samuel was 12 years old when God called him to be Eli's associate. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet when he was just an infant. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were teenagers when they stood before Nebuchadnezzar as faithful servants of the Lord. And those are just a few biblical characters whom the Lord touched, whom the Lord equipped, whom the Lord called to serve him. And they gladly surrendered to that call. But there are others. Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest preachers in the English-speaking world, mastered the languages of Latin, Greek, and Hebrew when he was 13. At age 20, Charles Spurgeon pastored the largest church in England, preaching to over 10,000 people every Sunday when he was 20. Bob Jones, founder of Bob Jones University, was a Sunday school director of his church at age 12. At age 16, he was a part-time pastor of 5 churches and saw over 400 people saved in his first year of ministry at age 16. Billy Graham was 19 when he started preaching, and he preached to over 90 million people throughout his lifetime. Paul wrote to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, "Let no one despise your youth." Somebody comes up to you, young people, and says, "You're too young to serve." You know how you ought to respond? Just watch me. Just watch me. Who am I to tell a young person that he can't serve the Lord when the Lord says, "I've called you to serve"? Just watch me. "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." And Mary certainly exemplified those disciplines, did she not? By the way, let's talk about age for just a second. I'm going to go off on a little bunny trail here. Mary was 14, 15 years old when God called her to serve. How old was Moses? Huh? 80. How many of you are 80 or older? You guys have been retired for a while. Moses was just getting started. Huh? 40 years in Pharaoh's house as the adopted son of Pharaoh, learning the ins and outs and the ways and the means of the Egyptian people. Then 40 years on the backside of the Sinai out in the desert, taking care of sheep. When he saw the burning bush on the mount, went up to see, God called him. Moses was 80 years old when God said, "I want you to go down and I want you to secure the release of my people, and I want you to take them to the land that I promised to your forefathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Moses was 80 years old. What's the point? God doesn't care about your age. God doesn't care if you're 8 or 80. God cares about one thing. He wants you to be fat. He wants you to be faithful. He wants you to be available. He wants you to be teachable. And I pray, and I've prayed all of my life, "Lord, until the day I die, that hurts." Thank you. "Till the day I breathe my last breath, I want to be faithful, I want to be available, and I want to be teachable to the Lord. If I die tomorrow, I want to be fat. If I live another 30, 40 years, if I live to be my father's age at 94, I still want to be fat. I still want to be able to do what God wants me to do and equips me to do. I don't know who it was that said this, but someone said, I picked it up a long, long time ago. Your life is God's gift to you. What you make of your life is your gift to God. Mary was called at age 14, at age 15, and was given the rest of her life to serve the Lord, listen, as a mother. As a mother. Not as an evangelist, not as a missionary, not as a preacher, not as a Bible teacher, but as a mother of the only begotten Son of God. One of the things I despise most about the now movement is that they have so denigrated motherhood. They have made women to think that desiring to be at home and to raise your children is beneath you. It's undignified. One of the greatest tasks, ladies, that you have is to raise up children in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. Amen. My mother used to tell me when I was a child that the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. The Catholic Church states, give us your children while they're young and by age 5, and we'll have them for the rest of their lives. The importance of nurturing and raising children to know the Lord God. That was the greatest vocation that Mary ever had. And according to her cousin Elizabeth, the world would never forget this young mother for being the one who raised the only begotten Son of God. Well, I won't charge you for that. How was Mary able to do this? I mean, she was only 14 or 15 years old, unschooled, untrained. Inexperienced. For all intents and purposes, a nobody to the people of Nazareth. But she was somebody to God. Why was she able? How was she able to do this? To be the one whom God would choose to bear her son? Well, look at her unquestioned devotion. First of all, her unquestioned devotion to the Word of God. I'm not going to ask you, young people, how much time you spend studying the Word of God. I'm not going to ask you how much time you spend meditating upon what you read in the Word of God. But Mary, by age 14, by age 15, was well versed in the Word of God. Her song, if you read the song again, is steeped in Scripture. It's steeped in Scripture. She uses 13 different Old Testament texts in this song of praise to the Lord. Quite an achievement for a young girl that never possessed a copy of the Bible. Wouldn't you say? It's a testimony to her personal spiritual devotion to the Word of God. But this is not all. Consider her unwavering virtue. What is virtue? It's her high moral standards. At age 15, at age 14, she was a young lady of impeccable morals. Now, she's a beautiful diamond, but let me give you the backdrop that makes that diamond shine. She was a model of righteousness in the town of Nazareth, a town where people were rude, immoral, uncivilized, uncultured, largely influenced by the world, and exemplified a lower type of moral and religious character. Yeah, she lived in California. And yet she was a diamond in the eyes of God. In the midst of the moral, ethical, cultural decline of her town in her day, she shone like a brilliant star in the darkest of nights. High virtue. Nathanael, one of Jesus' disciples, referred to Nazareth as a town that was despised. When Nathanael was told that the Messiah came from Nazareth, he responded, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And yet here we have a young lady in the backdrop of a town that was on the cusp of complete self-disintegration. She was a young lady that was known for her virtue. But she also has a unique witness. She was not born with a silver spoon in her mouth. Her parents were not high mucky mucks in town. She was not a young lady of advantage. She was just a common girl. She was a nobody in the neighborhood. There is nothing in the biblical record that would lead us to believe that she was one that had any kind of notoriety, or her family had any kind of notoriety at all. As a matter of fact, if we did not have the genealogies given to us in the Gospel of Luke, we would have no idea that Mary came from royal blood, that she was a descendant of King David. But even the folks in her day had no clue who she was and what her heritage was. Like everybody else in her family, in her town, in her generation, she was a sinner in need of salvation. Do not hold to the Catholic view that Mary was a saint from the very, very beginning, that in order for her to bear the Christ child, that she had to be perfectly sinless. Do not believe that at all. There's only been one human being that's ever been born that was born without sin, without a sinful nature, and that was the child that she bore. And yet, she was chosen by God because even at age 15, she was fully devoted to the Lord. Now, my heart's desire is for our girls and boys in the preschool, the children's, and the youth departments to have that same kind of devotion that Mary had. But listen, they're going to need someone to teach them. Huh? Mary didn't come by this by osmosis. She didn't come by this virtue. She didn't come by this devotion. She did not have this commitment because she pulled it out of a box of Cracker Jacks. It didn't come to her by accident. Her mother and her father were diligent in raising her to know the Lord personally and to be disciplined in the ways of God personally. Young people are not going to rise into the service of the Lord Jesus Christ on their own. We must teach them. We must follow the Shema of the Old Testament. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and we will love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we will teach the things of the Lord to our families. We will speak of Him daily in our homes. We will talk about Him when we lie down at night. We will talk of Him when we rise up in the morning. We will post His word upon the doorposts of our home. We will speak Him to our servants and to those who come in as our guests. Young people come by faith through the hearing of the word of God. And moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas and uncles and aunts, they're going to hear that word of God through you. They're going to hear that word of God through you. Robert Dean wrote, Mary was the recipient of grace, not a source of grace. Her blessedness was the blessedness of one who became a willing channel of divine blessing to others, end quote. But again, I submit to you that she came by that, through the faith, through the devotion, through the spiritual discipline of her father and her mother. She didn't learn it from the school that she went to. She didn't learn it from the townsfolk. She learned it at home and at church. I'd like to get into her song, but I'm not going to take the time to do that this morning. We will save that for next Sunday. But what I do want to do this morning is simply to challenge you. I want to challenge you, young people. And I want to challenge you, older people, and everyone else in between. God has given you a life to live. And He's given you that life to live that you might live it for Him. We can be like everybody else in our world and live our lives for ourselves, live our lives for some great cause, live our lives for some goal that we would like to attain before we die. But Mary and Moses, they gave their lives to the Lord. And they served the Lord with their lives, in their lives, throughout their lives, after they came to know the Lord. Amen. And as a result of that, their names are spoken even today. Thousands of years later, we know who Mary, the mother of Jesus, is. We know who Moses, the liberator of Israel, is. I don't want to live my life so that people will know my name. I want to live my life so that people will know His name. But they will never know His name if I am not devoted, as Mary was. If I am not a person of high moral virtue, as Mary was. If I am not willing to set aside the culture that I live in so that I might embrace the culture of the kingdom of God, like Mary did. I want to bring glory to His name. I want people to know who He is, not who I am. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this young, shining example. A young lady, a virtual unknown, whom You set aside, whom You called, and whom You gifted to be one of the most famous women history has ever known. To be the mother of the greatest gift the world can ever receive. I thank You not only for the devotion that she showed before You called her. I thank You not only for the high virtue that she demonstrated before you acknowledged her. But I also want to thank you, Lord God, that after her pregnancy was completed, after the child was born, she continued to be devoted to you. She continued to honor that high moral virtue. She continued her devotion to your word. She continued her commitment to the calling that you placed upon her. She saw it through to her very dying day. Thank you for young Mary's example. And thank you for all of the other young men and young women that Scripture reveals to us, who gave their lives at a very young age to serve you faithfully, to be available to you at a moment's notice, to go where you would want them to go, to do what you wanted them to do. Thank you for their willingness to be taught things that they had never dreamed of, things that they had never heard of. And I pray, Lord, for this church. I pray for my people here. Father, we will not make the excuse, I'm too old, or I'm too young. Father, we will never accuse ourselves of being unfaithful and uncommitted because we use excuses to get out from under your calling. May we rise to the occasion. And may we commit ourselves, even today, Father, for the rest of our lives, to live a life that we can present to you as a wonderful gift on the day that we stand before you. Bless us the remainder of this day. Bless us in the future, should we have a future here, as we move closer and closer to the day we celebrate the birth of Jesus. May we always be ready to give people an answer for the hope that lies within us. And use this time, this great opportunity when people are celebrating Christmas, give us a willingness to use this time to tell them why Christmas is Christmas. And how they can enjoy the greatest gift ever given. This I ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, amen. God bless you and have a great day in the Lord. You are dismissed.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.